goodness.
I don't know about you, man, but Facebook has just gone too far, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I'm done. All right? I'm done. They just, last night, I was trying to just go to bed. And they put on this ad for a damn eclair cake.
Ooh.
Oh. It's a no-bake eclair cake that you put in the refrigerator. It's basically a giant eclair.
Do they deliver it, or do you have to make it?
It's one of those things where it's they want you to make it.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm not going to make that.
No.
I want somebody to make it for me.
Once I see there's multiple pots and multiple steps involved, I'm out.
I do like, a couple of years ago, there was a trend that people were bringing like that seven-layer pudding kind of dish.
Yep.
That had like chocolate pudding and some like thin mints around the sides.
Wouldn't they do it too sometimes in individual glasses so you could see all the layers, individual portions?
Yes, that's a little fancy. That's a little fancy. That's a little fancy.
Well, I got the story, and it's probably not a good one after talking about food, but people break into people's houses for various reasons. Maybe there's a drug problem, right? And they need a little bit of money for their next high. Maybe they need a television, whatever it happens to be. Well, this one's a little different. In Ontario, Canada, somebody, we don't know, man or woman, they haven't tested this deposit yet. So they broke into the house, sliding glass door was open on a Sunday, and the couple was sleeping. While in the house, perpetrator noticed that the dishwasher door was open. Did he close it up because the owners were careless? No, he pooped in it. And then left.
Wasn't expecting that.
Didn't take the TV.
I'm sorry.
Didn't go through the jewelry.
I'm sorry. I should be prepared more for that for this show, but I was not prepared for it. He pooped in it.
I don't know what to make of this. That reminds me, remember the story of Najee Davenport? He was a running back out of Miami, played for a few NFL teams. I'm not sure if he was in the pros, then went back to visit or was still in college, but at one point he and the girlfriend had a spat. And unfortunately, there have been domestic violence cases. This didn't go in that direction. This went completely different. He broke into her apartment, went to her laundry hamper, pooped in it. And then left.
Look, I don't do the poop thing, okay? I did do...
Did do?
I did the colonoscopy take home, not do it yourself colonoscopy.
No,
but
the poop in the box.
Yeah, that. Well, you got to take this little thing and stab your poop.
does it scream?
You stab your poop, and then you put it in the little thing. You mix it up, and then you put it on this little stick that's like a pregnancy test. So there's two lines.
Poke some holes in the box, please.
It's clear. It's negative, or this you get the second line,
yep.
Then it's positive. And they're 92%, at least the box and the internet says they're 92% accurate on predicting those polyps are not in your colon.
Do it the right way, my man. Go get a colonoscopy.
I know. I got to go do that. But it was kind of all that conversation in the last week or so until I can get one scheduled. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. So I went and bought one of those at the store. It was like $12 or something like that. And there's two of them in there. But I had to, when I started reading the direction, I was like, oh, I got to stab my poop.
Oh, so after the poop is stabbed and sent away, how long does it take for the results? And do you have to pay for the analysis?
No. You just take it. You put the poop in this little water vial.
Oh,
thing.
You don't send it away.
No. And then you just drip it onto the stick like the pregnancy test. And you drip it onto the stick, and then it you either get one line or two lines, and one line means it's negative, and I got one line both times.
All right. So did you go to Jackie and say, guess what?
I left it on the dresser for her. She was like, what is that? I was like, that's a vial of my poop water.
How did she react when you had one line? Was she ecstatic? What was she like? I was kind of hoping that I'd get all the money. I don't know. I didn't know how to react. You hit me with the one line thing, and I wasn't ready for it.
All right. Coming up next, I hope you're ready for this. Neftorious is back. Adam Neff, former afternoon underdog. He's been up in Columbus for, I don't know, 10 years now or something crazy. So he's doing mortgages now, but he still keeps up with his sports. And he's in the heart of Big Ten country. So we'll find out what's going on with that decision today, what his thoughts are, and what the pulse is in Columbus. We all know that. It's crazy Ohio State area. So we'll talk to Neft. It's coming up next right here on News Radio 840 WHAS. Oh, yeah, you know that song. That means we're going up north. We're going to go to Columbus and talk to the original afternoon underdog, Mr. Adam Neft, Neftorious. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm great. It's been a while. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing great. We're doing great. Obviously, I contacted you this week, and boy, it looks like we're a genius now because this morning the Big Ten decides, yep, we're going to play, but it won't be till October 24th. Catch us up with what's – you're living in Columbus. That obviously is Big Ten country, and that is Ohio State. Tell us the feeling around town.
It's been a lot of mixed emotions, a lot of kind of start, stop. I think a lot of people in July sort of knew the train was coming down the tracks but didn't want to think about it, right? And then finally they come out with this Big Ten schedule, you know, an all-conference schedule in August. I think it was on a Thursday. And then the following Monday they canceled the whole season. And it left people a little bit perplexed, understandably so, to say, well, why'd you just release this 10-game schedule and pull the carpet out? And I think for the Buckeye football fans, for the Big Ten football fans, it was a lot of why does the decision need to be made now, right? Is it really necessary to pull the plug at this juncture? Can we not wait a few more weeks? The SEC is starting at the end of September. It looks like the ACC obviously started last weekend. Why now, right? And there was just a lot of rumors, a lot of innuendo, a lot of different information. The Big Ten didn't want to say whether they voted, who voted for what, and it just, you know, when you know this because you've done radio for a couple of years, from my understanding, when there's a lack of transparency on the part of powerful people or powerful conferences, the social media vacuum, the fan vacuum, fills that void, often with things that aren't true or aren't the full story. And so I think the Big Ten finally came clean and said, hey, a few schools voted yay, most of them voted nay. And then this overwhelming public sentiment just swept them up, and here we are.
Well, I think the motivation is pretty simple. I mean, they saw that other schools could do it, and they thought about the money that would be lost for television, not being a part of the playoff. I think, Adam, simply they just said, this is too much money to leave on the table to not play. Or is there more at play?
I think that's probably 99% of the driving force behind it. You know, there is, I mean, obviously just gargantuan sums of money, but also the public sentiment, the fan sentiment. It's embarrassing to have to answer to your boosters, right, who hold the purse strings, and to the families of players and the players and the coaches who are, a lot of them, out in the public every day and on social media saying we want to play, to look across the landscape and say, well, all these colleges are playing. Some have fans, some don't have fans, but we're not. And then to try and appease the fan base, to appease the boosters by saying, well, hey, we'll either play this winter in indoor facilities, which always seemed a little weird to me. Maybe we'll play in the spring, which I never thought was a feasible idea, because you can't play a full season in the spring and then take 2 months off and have training camp and play again in the fall. And all of those outcomes simply mean that nobody's eligible for any postseason awards. You're not eligible for the college football playoff. And so then what? It amounts to an exhibition season. And I think that the money was obviously the driving force, but the fact that you're basically playing for nothing if you start your season the week of Thanksgiving is a killer. It's an absolute killer.
Adam, was it around Columbus? Was the conversation around the bar or in your fantastic basement? I've seen those pictures. That's unbelievable setup that you have. It really is amazing. I mean, how many TVs are on the wall?
Five. We have five televisions.
Five televisions. Adam. Adam, it looks like a dark room in the NSA building where they're taking down enemy satellites. I mean, you've got five screens. It's unbelievable. All right, did you all just sit around with your buddies drinking beer and going, man, we look like idiots in the Big Ten at some point?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, we just say we look like idiots regardless, me and my friends, because that's what we are.
Right.
It was on some level, it was maddening, right? You're upset saying, you know, I'm an Indiana Hoosier, right? And as all the Hoosier football is not the bell cow, you know, not having them. Not having Ohio State, obviously, is a big deal in Columbus. And to see everybody else, your kids are looking out the window and saying, everyone else is allowed to go play baseball. Why am I not? And they're saying, oh, well, we don't really want to tell you, right? we just don't want you to. And you're looking at everyone's having fun, and they're talking about the rankings and the playoff and the games and the TV, and we're going to have game day even though fans won't be there. And we're still sitting there saying, why again can't we play? Or can't we talk about playing? Why did they pull the plug back in August? And so you go from mad to kind of sad to just a little bit numb. And then, as you all seen in the past couple weeks, it almost seemed like every day or every second or third day there was a rumor, again, probably due to a lot of the Big Ten's lack of transparency and how bad they've looked publicly, that, oh, they're going to vote today. Oh, well, no, they're going to vote tomorrow. Well, this doctor said this, and now they might not do it, and then they're going to start on the 10th or maybe the 17th, and now the news is the 24th, really the 23rd. And so it just got to be so much Chicken Little, so much the boy cried wolf, right? I got my kids' stories mixed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? About, well, they're going to vote and they're going to play. No, they're not. And I think a lot of Big Ten fans finally just got over it. They were like, all right, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but it stinks. And, you know, I mean, I love college football. That's always been my favorite, like you guys. And to wake up on Saturday morning and not have a conference that would have 4, 5, 6 teams in the top 25, but to see schools from, you know, the Sun Belt and others in the Big 12 in the top 25, I mean, it's maddening. It's really upsetting for people.
Well, let's talk about those polls for a second. We always say, okay, fans, settle down. Preseason polls don't matter. Don't pay attention in season because the SIDs are voting anyway. But what do fans do? They argue about the polls. So imagine this scenario where the top 10 as it sits starts to lose to each other. And then Penn State and Ohio State with records of 0-0 find themselves 1-2. Is that going to happen?
Please tell me no.
I can't imagine it would. I mean, I think the college football playoff rankings are really the only ones that end up mattering. Now, I love debating polls as much as anybody. I have to think the playoff committee's probably going to ding the Big Ten a little bit for getting out of the starting gate so late. We'll see. But that's the interesting thing about college football this year with all of these all-conference schedules or very limited out-of-conference schedules is you're not going to be tested. Ohio State was supposed to play Oregon, you know, originally last Saturday, and that would have been at least some barometer as to where the Buckeyes and where the Oregon Ducks stand. You know, so I think it'll be really interesting to see the Big Ten. I don't know that they've released their schedule yet. It's only going to be an 8-game schedule. So does Ohio State get a schedule full of Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, you know, or is it going to be Penn State, Wisconsin, you know, possibly Michigan? I mean, I'm sure they'll play Michigan, obviously Michigan State, Nebraska. Is it going to be a mixture? And how much of that will be done before the first rankings come out? Because if all Ohio State has on their resume is 2-0 with two demolishings of Rutgers and Maryland, I mean, you can look at Ohio State and say, well, yeah, they brought back a team from last year. They're stacked. They blew the doors off Rutgers and Maryland. But again, let's say that Notre Dame lost to Clemson in a close game. How is Notre Dame's loss to Clemson not seen as, hey, it was a 3-point game, and all Ohio State's done is taken almost 2 months off and beat 2-0 schools that will probably finish the year with 1 or 2 wins. So it's going to be fascinating to see. I wouldn't fault the playoff committee for zinging the Big Ten a little bit, but I'd like to think as a Big Ten person that if Ohio State plays 2, 3, 4 games against what I would say are marquee decent opponents, Penn State, Michigan, you know, maybe Minnesota, they should get some credit for that. Just like the SEC. I mean, there's some just vicious SEC and ACC games coming up, right? You win those games, you should get some extra credit for it.
No, you're exactly right, because I was going to go there next. We're obviously talking to Adam Neft. He's up in Columbus, a former afternoon underdog, and still in touch with college football up there. They, you know, the SEC, there were plenty of complaints from the SEC coaches. You know, the Missouris were getting pounded because they want, you know, they were obviously looking like, we want LSU and Alabama and certain teams to have a really good schedule, but we want to give them some cupcakes too. That will be who, and in the way we've watched Big Ten so far operate, this should be a clown show.
Oh, it definitely will be. And I part of me thought, maybe just trying to be the nice guy, that the reason they delayed, you know, making these announcements because they wanted to figure out the schedule, which, you know, it doesn't just happen in 30 minutes, right? There's a lot of logistics, travel, other things you have to consider when you, you know, throw out even an 8-game schedule, right? You can't just do that, you know, make an announcement and an hour later release the schedule. So I have to think they were trying to piggyback an announcement that we're coming back to play and buttress it up against, you know, oh, by the way, here's the schedule, get pumped, TV, you know, we'll have game day here or there. So I think, you know, ignorantly maybe, that the schedule will be out pretty soon and we'll know, you know, how stacked or not stacked the three or four big schools' schedules are. Do they try to stack the deck so that the Ohio State and the Penn State and the Wisconsin can get out of the gate with 4-0 records and just look like gangbusters, get into that college football playoff conversation, and then figure it out after that, knowing that the SEC and ACC and the Big 12, right, still has a couple of really good schools there at the top, on some level will cannibalize each other. There's just no way around it. They're playing each other. Someone's got to lose. When Notre Dame plays Clemson, someone has to lose. When Kentucky plays Tennessee, someone has to lose. Even if it's a vicious battle and a last-second field goal, it still puts a tally in the L column. Does that give you more weight than beating up a nothing? So I'm a little bit interested to see, you know, the magicians at the Big Ten Conference, that if they try to stack the deck out of the gate for a few schools, which just would not surprise.
Out of curiosity, before we let you go, what does the rest of the league think about Nebraska? They whine Scott Frost, well, if we can't play here, we're going to play somewhere else. And then the president of the university is, like, speaking for everybody. What does everyone else think about Nebraska and the Big Ten?
Well, they haven't been all that competitive recently, so I think they sort of take their opinion a little with a grain of salt. I think the Big Ten would love for Nebraska to be competitive, to be like the Nebraska of the Tommy Frazier days, of the Lawrence Phillips days, where Nebraska was relevant. And Vannetti always used to say this when we were doing our show many moons ago, and that is, when USC is good, when Florida State is good, when Nebraska is good, when the Bell Cows are good, college football is better. It's not to say that having a BYU or a Boise State good doesn't make things fun, but when you're 10, 15, 20 marquee schools that were there when we all grew up and Keith Jackson and Brent Musburger were calling games are good, it just makes the sport more enjoyable. So I think almost more than anything, the Big Ten would love for Nebraska to just be better at recruiting, better at the games, because they really just haven't been elite, you know, as of late.
Adam Neff, buddy, we love you. We miss you. Tell everybody we said hi up in Columbus, and still kill it in that mortgage business, buddy. We appreciate you. As good as ever on sports, man. We appreciate it.
Have a great day, guys. You know, I'm still rooting for the Cards up here and the Cats a little bit.
All right. There we go. All right. Adam Neff, Neftorious. All right, let's find out what the market is doing here. Ladies and gentlemen, it looks up just a couple of hundred points here. S&P, NASDAQ, all up today. Let's find out more with the Bloomberg Money Minute on News Radio 840 WHAS. Down. Just some updates from the Kentucky High School Athletic Association meetings. Basketball practice can start October 26th. And competition will begin on November 23rd, and districts start on February 15th. The conversation of whether basketball was going to happen because of an indoor sport is now at least they're moving forward. Again, you heard me right. Basketball practice can start October 26th for Kentucky high school districts. All right. They also mentioned that winter sports, which is basketball also, wrestling can start on practice on November 2nd. Which is a good sign, too, because I thought maybe that was a sport that wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of close contact in wrestling there. So,
yeah.
But it's
surprisingly, just like football, there I obviously know a bunch of kids that have been traveling to states that are allowing tournaments, wrestling tournaments, and not anybody that they know of has caught COVID from the wrestling mats.
Well,
it's strange.
There's a lot of herd immunity that has happened now, so especially with young people. Yeah. Hanging out together, not being so worried about it. Some are worried, but a lot are not. So college campuses are kind of taking care of themselves. And I think high schools, by and large, are doing the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know how the celebrities are going to survive, Dave. They are freezing their social media for one day in protest of hate speech. So Katy Perry, Kim Kardashian, Leonardo, Jamie Foxx, all these celebrities are spending the day off Facebook and Instagram for one day. They want to stop the hate.
What about all those celebrities that actually engage in the hate speech? Are they taking the day off?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, look, several of these people on the list, except for Kim Kardashian, are very talented. Leo's maybe the greatest actor on planet Earth. Jamie Foxx is a pretty good comedian, pretty good actor. Katy Perry's a top pop star.
But they're not out there like Alyssa Milano and Robert De Niro and a handful of Hollywood celebrities that just bash everything out of Washington. They're the ones that could shut it down for a day.
Yeah, you would. No. Those folks are usually in. Now, Leo's got he's got his global warming initiative.
That's fine. Whatever.
I don't normally see Jamie Foxx doing much of that, or Katy Perry get involved. Taylor Swift, Angel from Heaven.
Huh?
She's jumped into that before.
Good for her.
Did you not know that I always follow Taylor Swift?
Isn't she like a foot taller than you?
That doesn't intimidate me.
That's right.
Doesn't at all.
You got legs, bring them.
Whatever. But yes, they're so. Part of me always says these celebrities overplay their value or the impact.
Just a touch.
On the impact they have on regular society. And then you see where, well, so-and-so posted they hated this lipstick, and that lipstick company now is out of business. So you're just like, what? But, yes, who cares if Katy Perry takes the day off Facebook?
No, if somebody, let's just say, is it Kendall Jenner, the almost billionaire?
Yes.
She'll get $100,000 a tweet or more to promote a product.
Yep.
If people that are looking for scissors or curlers or irons or whatever she's promoting, fine. But if she tries to tell you who to vote for in a Senate race, not a lot of people are going to care.
She doesn't. She's never seen an iron in her life.
I was just rolling down all the female tools, Tony, that I could think of.
Oh, female tools. Oh, okay.
Dishwashers, you know. Welcome back to 1957.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Do you want to try to guess birthdays? Because I've got a good
sure.
List.
Speaking of Katy Perry, let me get her song up here.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Because I got a pretty good list. Meant to do this with Sasquatch, but we missed out on it because we had too much fun going on. Mickey Rourke, one of your favorites. The guy if you saw a picture of him today, you would not recognize Mickey Rourke. Pope of Greenwich Village, what did they do? They took my thumbs, Charlie.
Hey!
The big sexy thing with Mickey Rourke was 9.5 weeks. Remember that? Then he played in that creepy movie, Angel Heart. He was in one of the Iron Man films where he played the bad guy. How old is Mickey Rourke today, September 16th?
Wow, he looked 10 years older than he is about 10 years ago. He's got to be like 65 now.
A really good guess. He is 68.
Whoa, wow.
Years old, Mickey Rourke. Remember, he became a boxer for a while.
With a name like Mickey Rourke? What?
Yeah, and then I think he played a wrestler. He got nominated for an Oscar because he played a wrestler doing steroids. Okay,
what?
Ed Begley Jr. Yeah, I know. Ed Begley Jr., Officer and a Gentleman, St. Elsewhere. He was also in Spinal Tap. He was at my bachelor party.
No,
Ed
he wasn't.
Begley Jr., how old? Yeah, he was.
I know that. What's his face was there? I can't think of his name now. The villain from the first Lethal Weapon. Gary Busey.
Yeah, Gary Busey. And Ed Begley Jr. He was there with him.
Wow. Yeah. Odd couple there.
Together. And he had the glasses on, and he was so Ed Begley Jr. Like he was, that's like whenever you see him in any movie, you're like, that's the way he was, drinking a beer.
Wasn't he the nerdy guy too in Revenge of the Nerds?
No.
Wormser? No, not Wormser, the guy with the glasses.
No. No, the guy with the glasses was on ER.
Oh, no, no, no. That was Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, Dr. Green.
Yeah, he's one of the main guys. The other guy, the nerdy guy with the tie and the glasses, kind of a lesser character with Booger.
No.
Not Worms or the younger kid. I forget his name now. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Ed Begley Jr.
How old is he tonight?
So Revenge of the Nerds is like 84, St. Elsewhere, so you're looking almost 40 years ago. He's got to be close to 70. 69, dude.
71 years old today. You're on it in the first thought. Ed Begley Jr. is today, September 16th. Amy Poehler, one of my favorite people on planet Earth, Saturday Night Live, Parks and Rec. You know her. She's one of the funniest people ever. So I love Amy Poehler. How old is Amy Poehler today, Dave Jennings?
She's funny when she keeps politics out of it. Amy Poehler. Oh, no, I'm thinking of what's her face from who am I thinking of? Amy Poehler's cool, Parks and Rec. Okay. 47.
Close. 49 years old, Amy Poehler. Yeah, she's not very political. She's always been, she's the blonde. She's the main character in Parks and Rec, and of course, great on Saturday Night Live.
Schumer. I'm thinking Amy Schumer is who I was thinking of there.
Yes. Amy Schumer. Yeah, she just came out with that movie about her being pregnant and how miserable she is. Like, again, celebrities thinking they're the first people to do stuff. Do you believe you're the first person to have a hard time being pregnant? No.
Yeah, she's miserable. Imagine the dad.
Jennifer Tilly, Family Guy. She's the voice of the Family Guy. Haunted Mansion, Bullets Over Broadway, Liar Liar. Jennifer Tilly's been in everything. How old is Jennifer Tilly today?
She was also in one of the Chucky movies, one or two of those, like Bride of Chucky or something like that. Jennifer Tilly's got to be 63.
Very good guess. She is 62 years old today, Jennifer Tilly, September 16th. Last one, magician David Copperfield. Forbes magazine described him as the most commercially successful magician in history. How old is magician David Copperfield today?
Despite that, he made his career disappear. Or is he still doing the Vegas residency thing?
I don't know.
Didn't he date some supermodel for a while, too?
Yeah, he made enough money. He's actually, I've interviewed him before. He's a super awesome dude.
David,
very down to earth.
He's got to be pushing 72. I'll say 66.
64 years old today. David Copperfield, Forbes magazine, most commercially successful magician. Those guys did in Vegas make millions a week.
Cray cray.
Here's your birthdays for today, September 16th, 2020. You know, Kentucky's Best Hemp, KYS, besthemp.com. Okay, so what you've got to do is go online. Don't do Kentucky's. You got to put KYS instead of Kentucky in there and to order up what you need. It's not just the CBD oil what they sell, okay? They have all these different products. My wife puts this lotion for your hands or your feet, okay? So on that tough skin where you get some sort of tough skin on areas, it helps out. They have an aloe spray that has, and all this has CBD oil in it, so you feel relaxed. All the benefits of CBD oil, but in different products, right? So the drippers they have, but they also have those lotions, the CBD bath bombs, okay? So check them out. Go to KYSBestHemp.com, KYSBestHemp.com, and check it out. 30% off your entire order happening right now. So please do that.
I looked it up. Okay, it was not who I thought. That was Poindexter in Revenge of the Nerds. It was not Ed Begley Jr., but it was Timothy Busfield.
Timothy Busfield? Poindexter. Which one was? Was he the guy? Was he Dr. Green on ER?
No, he was either Lewis or Gilbert.
Oh, no, I know who you're talking about, the redheaded guy.
Yeah, remember he was when they had the robot cleaning up the place, and he got kind of pinned in the corner. He's like,
And when he were watching the videos after their panty raid, he went.
Timothy Busfield, early career stuff there.
All right, man. Sit tight. We'll be back after this. It's Tony and Dave. Dwight will be back tomorrow. News Radio 840 WHS.